Hi, I'm Zoe, and this is What a Body Can Do, explorations of the body in the social world.
What can bodies do?
We still don't know what bodies can do.
The question of the body.
The possibilities inside of us.
There's still so much we don't know.
Let's find out what a body can do. Hi everyone, we have arrived at episode 2. Thanks to everybody who listened to the first episode and gave me feedback on it. I really appreciate y'all's support and kind words. It means a lot to me. Like I mentioned last time, a lot of the episodes will be pretty different from each other in terms of content, though we're sticking with the overarching theme, of course, of what a body can do. I've been reading Alexis Pauline Gum's book, Undrowned, which is incredible and worth checking out if you haven't. And the subtitle of the book is Black Feminist Lessons from Marine Mammals. And as I've been reading it, I've just been thinking a lot about the ocean and about how much is going on in there that we don't know about and might never know about. And I think about bodies like that too. Like there's so much happening in there that we don't know about, either because we've been trained out of paying attention, or we're just not still enough to listen, or because of our culture or colonialism, or how our concepts and ideas don't allow us to actually conceptualize the possibilities there, or just because it's happening at a level beneath our conscious awareness, which is a good thing. We don't want to know everything that's happening in our bodies all the time. That would be pretty overwhelming, make it pretty hard to be in our bodies. Anyway, I say all that just to say that we still don't know what a body can do. Like, really, what's possible. And that's the spirit of this project. Also, speaking of Alexis Pauline Gums, I recently heard her say, quoting one of her own mentors, that spirit answers to an aesthetic. Spirit answers to an aesthetic. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about that. What I take from it is that the shapes we make and the ways we organize ourselves either opens us up or closes us off from an awareness of the world, from spirit, from the wider universe and what it's saying. And I realize that that's really what this episode is about. It's about art and architecture and aesthetics, and about the impressions that the world makes and leaves on our bodies. And knowing that we are shaped by our environments, the question that I present in today's episode is, can we take agency in how they shape us? Thanks for listening. Yeah, so I went to Miami recently and I became just kind of obsessed with the architecture there, which is like a little weird because I'm not someone who typically gets obsessed by architecture. I think I'd probably like it more than the average person. It really became an obsession while I was there. I think part of it is the way that it just elicited this sort of historical memory in me that I couldn't place. Like, I felt like I was time traveling.
Some are carried back to another era when architects and designers created a fantasy world, tropical, whimsical, bountiful, full of twists and turns for the vivid imagination.
I was being reminded of something that I couldn't exactly put my finger on.
The closer you look, the more you feel stirrings of vague memories you can't quite latch onto.
I'm from South Florida, so part of what was happening was that I was really being connected to my childhood, my past, in this way that felt really, like, good, actually. And I also was escaping winter, so the sun and the breeze and the beach and all of that clearly had a huge effect on my psychobiology and was making my vitamin D come back and my serotonin come back, and I was clearly really happy. But there was something else going on too that was deeper than that. And so I went on this exploration to try to figure out what that was.
In the 1930s, many of these buildings featured neon lighting. It was a fairly new technology at the time. They're not real fancy neon signs like you might see in Las Vegas, but one of my favorite signs, because I like the color a lot, is the sign for the Breakwater Hotel. So are there any questions or comments about that last point or anything else we saw or talked about on the tour?
Miami is one of my favorite cities. I love the aesthetics of it all, the neons and ice cream cone color scheme of pastel pink and yellows and teal everywhere you look. The beach, the endless summer warmth, the culottes on every corner, people biking around with boom boxes and Miami bass and Latinx beats booming from every corner. On South Beach, there are a seemingly endless amount of Art Deco buildings. Art Deco was an architecture style that came out of Paris in the 1920s and somehow made it across the ocean to Miami. The wealthy developers that were trying to develop this wild, barely inhabitable coastal swamp thought that they could convince the social elite of America to move there, or vacation there, or invest in property there, if they commissioned these like fancy hotels and buildings to be built. But this isn't just a story about architecture or about Miami. It's about how bodies are affected by our environments in these really subtle ways that we often don't even notice. Art Deco is a type of design that was specifically created to have an effect on the social imaginary. It was popularized after the First World War and took further shape during the Great Depression, when morale was pretty low and there was this collective sense of despair in the air. Art Deco was this way of moving beyond it all. Like, literally moving. Many of the buildings themselves and the features of the buildings are designed to look like ships. Not explicitly, but like really subtly. To evoke this feeling of movement or progress. This idea that we're going somewhere. Racing stripes on the side of the buildings were a popular design. And those porthole windows that make the buildings look like ships. Combined with like bold shapes, bright colors, a lot of features that were designed to not to be functional, but to just be fancy, artful, and evocative. The idea was to elicit a felt sense of luxury, glamour, and hope in the technological and social progress of the future, within a world where that idea itself needed some fuel.
It was built as a place to come forget your troubles and come on, get happy.
That was Leonard Harrowitz, one of my favorite characters in this story. In the 1970s, these time-stamped Art Deco buildings in Miami were in ruins. South Beach was not at all what you think of it as today. It was largely neglected. Not only were the buildings falling apart, but they were also really bland colors, lots of plain white. Harrowitz, who was of course a gay artist, decided that these buildings needed a makeover. He came up with that distinct color scheme that now defines Miami, those ice cream cone pastels of pink and blue and bright yellow. This new look was one of the things that saved the beautiful, unmatched Art Deco architecture of South Beach from being demolished. Along with the organizing work of an older woman named Barbara Kapitman, who chained herself to bulldozers to stop the demolitions. Together, this unlikely crew, Barbara and Leonard, they shaped South Beach into what it is today. They saved this architectural anomaly from being destroyed and replaced with bland skyrises that would just make it look like any other coastal city. These vivid color schemes and loud geometric patterns are the visuals of my childhood memories. I can really feel that Art Deco utopian sentiment when I'm here. And being back also connects me to my childhood, which was its own kind of utopia. I was lucky to have a very blissful childhood, up until adolescence when things started to get kind of rough. I'm taken back there by these colors, like I feel my skin tingle and my heart rate excitedly speed up. Clearly, I'm a nerd, but also it's like my body is directly transported back in time to that feeling of running through the cold waves and diving into the vast ocean, staring up into the clouds and floating away blissfully in this daydream where everything is okay. My great-grandma's house.
Mustard yellow and pastel pink dinner chairs.
Neon pink.
Ocean blue. Patterns
and vivid colors.
Oh my god, I love teal.
The wallpaper.
So many shades of teal.
That wallpaper.
The night sky purple. Bold greens.
That art deco
against
backdrop of
white.
Extravagant.
Stripes.
Waves.
Squares.
Elaborate
neon palm trees lining the entryway to the department store.
Colors everywhere.
Pinks and blues and yellows everywhere.
It all lives so vividly in my memory.
It all lives so vividly in my memory. It all lives so vividly.
It's such magic to have bodies that store these memories, that we can time travel as sensations of the past are triggered in the present. I think that's what's so compelling about art and music and ritual and parties and drugs and wild architecture and bright neon colors. Anything that makes an impression is stored and later becomes historical memory that is triggerable, that we can call up. We can take a somatic snapshot of past moments, of resilient daydreams, and let them become blueprints for the future we want to embody and to enact. And, at some point, grasping tightly to that blueprint, we need to awaken from the daydream, burst out of the bliss, face the world as it is, a world that's complicated and painful and not always fantastical. When I'm in Miami, I so deeply feel like I belong there. Like the conditions of that place are exactly what my body craves, like a banana or an avocado tree that thrives there. And I also feel like I don't belong there at all. And of course, the displacement that I feel is such a small fraction of what so many people in Miami feel. It's such a diaspora. Banyan trees and bamboos and palms lining suburban roads like a fake jungle, a Disney-like artificial paradise amidst a consumeristic nightmare. The distance between rich and poor is just a gate, a concrete dividing wall engraved with pictures of herons, carrying the Art Deco tradition of signaling abundance and prosperity and luxury to cover up something that's actually really devastating. I go to Miami quite often, but honestly, I'm usually there partying or going to shows and I'm pretty occupied. But this time it was COVID and there wasn't much to do. So the city really hit differently. It struck something in me that I didn't know was strikeable. This way that architecture and color and landscape can subconsciously shape our memories and desires and evoke a sense of hope or hopelessness or so many other feelings. How the environments that we're immersed in have such an effect on our bodies. It really makes me wonder about the power that we have to create the architectures we want in our lives, to dream in the colors that could shape our senses and our sense of what's possible. That queer magic, like that one party you'll never forget, or like splashing a pastel color scheme on decrepit white buildings to bring life back into South Beach, to create the conditions and the aesthetics, even in small ways, that make memories for our bodies to hold on to and pull from as we move through this world that is mostly designed to keep us from feeling alive and feeling our power. So much for listening. You can find me on Instagram at body.podcast, and I would always love to hear from you. And you can also support this podcast at my Anchor page, which is listed in the show notes. I would so appreciate it if you wanted to give just like a few bucks a month. It would really help me to be able to keep making this and to probably get episodes out more regularly, which would be great. And the next episode I'm really looking forward to. I've been working on it for a really long time with my friend Alana, and it's about nostalgia and grief and bodies and all the things. It's going to be a really fun one. And just a note that the name of today's episode, Pastel Paradise, is the name of a documentary about Art Deco in Miami that was made in the 1980s. And it's really bad, but in that like good kind of way, and can be found on YouTube. Has a really great 80s soundtrack and some good visuals. I think last time I checked on YouTube, it had like 11 lifetime views. So anyway, check it out if you want to. Credit to Pastel Paradise for the name. See you next time.